Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning and Merry Christmas. Got to have Aretha Franklin in there with Joy to the World. If that doesn't get you moving, I don't know what does. Good morning. This is Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm John Pickens sitting in. He'll be back the day after Christmas, so it should be fun. He'll probably have tons of stories to tell us right here on News Radio. As last hour, Andrew had the privilege of getting on the USS McCool and taking an in-depth tour, and he's taking us through. We've already done the flood deck, we've done the flight deck, and now let's head on up to another cool part, the medical bay and room layout, right here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 6:39 here on News Radio 92.3, also AM 1620 and FM 95.3, and on the News Radio app. News Radio Pensacola, download it. It is super easy to use. One of the advantages of the app is it also lets you listen to podcasts of the show after the fact. You can listen to all 4 hours of the program. If you're not in the car for it, you can still listen to it later if you want. And you can pause me, which I know some people, it's their favorite part. Pause, Andrew, stop talking. I got to order my hamburger. All right, so I've been covering the USS McCool, which is going to come commissioned here on the 7th, and also several events leading up to that. All the tours are going to be free. You can go tour the vessel. You will have to register, and the registration portal is not available just yet, but the information is up on our News Radio Facebook page about that. So we initially showed, kind of talked you through the false beach, the way the amphibious boat basically dips itself down in the water like a submarine to launch and capture boats. This massive storage area where they, you know, stage all of the equipment for the Marines. The flight deck where they have up to 6 helicopters, but they can only operate 4 at a given time. And then at right adjacent to the helo deck, right adjacent to the flight deck, we got brought into the medical area. And let me just give you this one thing about the medical area that it's obvious, but it's not obvious until you realize it. They're a hospital. The ship is a hospital. I mean, it's not a hospital ship, but it's a city, right? So it's got to have the ability to do all the things that people have when they live in a place. And hospital and dental is one of those things, and not just hospital for, you know, medical treatment for just ordinary stuff. But obviously, you know, you're launching Marines and boats into hot, beach areas for amphibious assaults. There's going to be wounding and casualties, right? So that's something that they are equipped to handle. This is ASM2 De Jesus, the lab tech on board, kind of explaining all of the medical facilities to us.
So I wanted to start off by saying, if you guys have a question of why is medical on the same level as the hangar bay in our flight deck, the reason why medical is on this level is because we're a row 2 facility. So once we receive patients from other areas, we bring them in here and take care of them, and then we would bring them back out to transfer them to a row 3 facility, which would be like a hospital of So,
like a hospital ship is a 3, and they're a 2. So they have really high-level capability to handle wounded.
We're going to pause right here for a quick traffic on your 5s. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s. Let's head back and listen to more Andrew McCool on the U.S. Andrew McKay on the USS McCool.
Down there, that's our morgue. Fortunately, we have not needed to use that so far. So, and then this room right here is our decon room, our decon station. So in case of any chemical attacks or any contamination, we would screen them in there first, get them deconned before we would start seeing them. So after triage, we're going to then move our patients into our pre-op room so you guys can follow me.
And again, this just to connect the dots, so why would it need to be on the same level as the flight deck? Because the rescue choppers bring in people back from either a water rescue or from a beach, bringing wounded back, and they're just taking them right down the hallway to decontamination and then to pre-op and triage and then into, you know, if they need an ultrasound, if they need to get anesthesia, if they need to be operated upon, all on the same level, right?
So right here, this is our pre-op room. This is what this is where we will be assessing our patients. So right behind you is our portable X-ray machine. So we can use this to scan our patients to see what they might need to get surgery for and all that stuff. So the right here is bed. We'll be laying our patients down here, putting them IVs, getting them prepped for surgery. And right in here is our surgery room. This is our main OR. We have two operating rooms. This is main OR number one. And pretty much on our shift, we can essentially perform any type of surgery that we can. We have the capability to administer general anesthesia, and we also have a ultrasound machine.
They can do it all. It's just a question of doing it a little bit more, at a larger volume, is what the hospital ship is there for.
But for any general like mass capture, we could probably treat up to like, I would say 30 to 40 patients, because we have about, in the later room over there, I'll show you guys, we have six ICU beds and we have about 18 bunk beds. And then we could also set up a triage room and we could also makeshift beds out here in the triage as well.
So is the idea that as you're landing Marines and they get wounded, they can come back here, they can be recovered back here for treatment immediately and not have to have a hospital ship? Or,
yes, exactly. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. We treat here for pretty much our goal is to stabilize patients, and once they're good to go, depending on what their casualty or what their injuries are, that's when we would make ahead, we would decide if they need to get sent off or they're good to go to stay here to get stabilized, and then they can go right back out.
So first treatment, right? And I don't know if this might be a terrible analogy, but, you know, they're the MASH, right? If you think about the TV show, right, that's where the wounded come first. They get treated, they get stabilized, and then if they need to go to another facility somewhere else or to a hospital ship, they will, but they're there to take care of the folks that are wounded in the process of doing the landing and the amphibious assault that they are equipped to handle. And, you know, they have their own indigenous staff on board. Marines also bring their medical staff with them, Commander Mark Benke.
So the folks who you're going to meet here today, including our dental doctor, our general practitioner doctor that we have on board, normally we're equipped with an IDC as well. What we have that we carry on board is Role 2. We do have the facilities to be a Role 3 facility, but we need additional personnel to do that. So when we go on deployment, right, the Marines will bring their own medical elements. So you're going to see doctors come out with them. You're going to see PAs. They'll bring their own foremen, things like that, that will plus up our facilities here. Now to get up to that Role 3, we will embark an expeditionary surgical resuscitative team, which is basically augments out from Portsmouth Naval Hospital or Balboa Naval Hospital, but to get actual surgeons on board. And anesthesiologists and trauma nurses, those kind of folks.
So again, they have the ability to add staff and capability when they're deploying with Marines. And, you know, it's the kind of thing, like, until I had been there and seen it, I would have never even thought about that. And this is, to me, why the great value of being able to go on a tour like this is because you just start to understand more of the mission and the challenge. I mean, it's not like they can just, you know, we got five wounded. Let's just go pull into the neighborhood emergency clinic. You know, it just doesn't work that way, right? One of the, I don't know, odd, maybe just different things about being on a ship is every room is a number. And the number is meant to teach you or tell you exactly where you are on the ship. It's actually a series of three numbers and then a letter to tell you the kind of room that it's in. But this is Commander Mark Benke explaining the numbering system. So if you're ever lost on a ship, you can't really be lost on the ship. It is very easy to feel lost on the ship because inside, without outside references, if you don't know your way around, where am I? Well, there's every room, every wall, every portal has a numbering system, so you can't be lost on the ship.
I know there's a few questions. If you're seeing some numbers around on any of the bulkheads or walls, as you might call them, right? So you're seeing over there, one TAC 8, 0 TAC, 0 TAC Lima. That means probably a lot of nothing to most people out there. Mm-hmm. But that's how we navigate on board this ship. Any space you're going to go in, you're going to see that. That's what's called a bullseye. So that first one is going to tell you what deck or level you're on. Right now we're on the first deck. Second number is going to tell you what frame you're at. So right here, beginning of this space, so that front wall is 8-0. Second one is going to tell you where you are at, center line, so left or right on the ship. And then L is going to denote what kind of space it is. That second piece of information, frame 80 to 94. So this space will cover that to that. And then what division is responsible. Mm-hmm. So as you go around, you're able to kind of know where you are on the ship by looking at the bullseye.
So to put it a different way, the main deck is a 1, second deck down is 2-3. And then if you go up, it's 01, 02. Okay, so below or above the main deck. The ship frame is how far from the front you are. Let's say there's 300 frames on the boat. You might have, 80 would mean you're about a third of the way back or a quarter of the way back on the boat. And then the third number is are you left or right of the center line? Are you port or starboard of the center line? I think it's odd numbers are to the port and even numbers are to the starboard, to the right. And then the last one is the kind of room that it is, like it's A for supply and stowage, or E for engineering, or M for ammunition, or V for void is empty. It really tells you everything you need to know about that room. Other things that they showed us that were just kind of interesting is, fire hazard is a really big deal on board a ship. And then how to deal with fire and especially smoke. And so when you go, especially in the medical area, but other areas as well, you see all these little orange boxes on the wall labeled EEBD. And you're like, what is that? It looks like the tribbles from Star Trek. They're just there's so many of them all over the place.
Yeah, we could talk about EBDs you'll see around in a lot of our spaces as well. So if you see those orange boxes on the wall, we've talked a lot about our firefighting capability, right? So on board this ship. EBD is an emergency escape breathing device. A couple of you back in the day may have had, I'm trying to remember what it was. My father used to talk about it. It had the burning wick in it that would burn.
Yeah.
SCBAs. No, not the SCBAs.
OBA.
Yep, so OBA that you couldn't get wet, otherwise you'd die and it would explode.
By the way, part of what was such a delight about taking this tour was it wasn't just media and Navy. It was media and Navy and then people who are on the commissioning ceremony and people who have long time, retirees who are, older but had a lot of experience on ships. So they were bringing a lot of questions up and a lot of knowledge, and hearing them interact and hearing the Navy, the young Navy interact with the old Navy, it's just really, really neat flavor to the whole event.
So this is the new version. This is what we have now. Emergency escape breathing device. It's basically compressed air. So if you were to wake up in here or in one of your birthing spaces or in your office space, there was smoke, gives you 5 minutes of breathable air to get out. And SCBA, we do have a lot of those on board as well. Those are mainly going to be concentrated around our repair lockers. Those are for actual firefighting, normally 45-minute bottles, some 30s for the investigators. But those are what you'll see around mounted as well.
And as soon as I notice them everywhere. I mean, and because if there's a fire and there's smoke and you got to be able to get out to safety, you need to be able to handle, like if you're in the bunking area or if you're in the, after they've been treated at the OR and they're, in the bunks there, I'm like, all of those areas have loads of these things. They also have, and again, this may come as no surprise, but until you think of it, you don't think of it, dental. They have 300 sailors on board. They need to be able to see patients for their routine, regular dental, whether it's, maintenance cleanings or whether it's surgeries or anything like that. They can take care of all of that stuff, everything from crowns down to cleanings. And same thing with pharmacy. They have an onboard pharmacy that prescribes everything for working with the OR for any kind of, if you got a raise or lower the blood pressure, they can do that. But everything from, drugs that people need for their ordinary health conditions to, aspirin, ibuprofen, and all that kind of stuff. Again, all on board. Last little piece for today is that, there are some spaces that are just connecting quarters. And I will tell you, by the way, if you ever get a chance to go on the ship, don't trip. Eyes on the floor. Also, eyes on above you, because I bonked my head real good coming up one of the ladders. And let me tell you, the ship parts don't move. If you hit it, you hit it. You'll move, not it. It was just a little like bar sticking out that I didn't see. I'm like, what did I just? Oh, so watch where you're putting your head and your feet, especially. So many times I thought I was going to trip and die down the stairs because they're pretty steep. Anyway, so they've got these hallways again that are functional.
All right, I think we got everybody as we're walking. Welcome to our I-95 P-Way. named after our favorite interstate, right? So this B-way goes all the way from the flight deck all the way forward to our second weapons elevator, which is when we unload stores, we can bring forklifts all the way down through here. After this, we're gonna go up about three or four flights of stairs. Please don't get lost, follow the person in front of you.
Yeah, and so we went to the front and then we went up to go to the bridge. And on the way, I noticed that on one of the walls, bulkheads, I don't care. I don't know the terms. But there was a, on the floor, they had 4x4s. Not loose, but like sort of in a device that contained them, but you could get at them if you needed. And so I asked, you know, why are you carrying 4x4s in the middle of this ship?
What are the 4x4s for?
Shoring. So those are shoring. Sir, so if we were to take any metal damage, or maybe there was flooding, we need to support the deck above us, we can cut those shores, we can put them into place. Primarily we use metal nowadays, but we do still keep wood on board.
Ships run into things, ships get hit by ordnance, ships have problems, and you need to have shoring capability right there to keep things from collapsing or holding up the level above you or the wall around. I mean, you know, it's, again, kind of obvious until... if you don't think about it, then it's not obvious. And then as soon as you ask, you go, oh, well, that makes perfect sense. So 6:53 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Again, information about the commissioning and the tours is on our Facebook page at News Radio 92.3. You can see it for yourself. Everything is free and open to the public, but you will have to register before the events happen.
And that's another segment. He was talking about the medical room and room layout. And this really cool information I never knew. But we're doing the best of Andrew McKay this morning on News Radio 92.3. I've got the last segment of the USS McCool lined up for you. And it's the coolest part. It's the bridge.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's Reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Pensacola Bay Center's public ice skating sessions continue nightly, except Christmas night through the end of the year. For more information, see PensacolaBayCenter.com. Countdown to the new year with the Pensacola Symphony Orchestra. Enjoy a swinging evening of classic standards and a heartfelt tribute to some of America's finest music while ringing in 2025. See PensacolaSymphony.com. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
Every day, you enjoy the freedoms brought to you by the First Amendment. You can speak your mind, wear what you want. You can put a sign on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the God of your choice, or don't. They're the freedoms that let you be you. All brought to you by the First Amendment. Learn more at freedomforum.org.
This message is sponsored by Freedom Forum and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
I wish a one-horse open sleigh would come carry me away, but I've been waiting here all
day. It's Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm John Pickens sitting in for him. He'll be back the day after Christmas. Let's roll out and check in with David Wayne in the newsroom. What's up?
Well, Luigi Mangione is still behind bars in New York City. He pled not guilty yesterday in state court to murder and terror charges for allegedly killing UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson earlier this month. Mangione will be tried in state court first, and then he'll have to answer to those federal charges. Hawaii's Kilauea volcano is erupting on the Big Island. So far, that's not posing a threat to homes or people. And John, today Santas from around the world are grabbing their surfboards, heading to Florida. Awesome. They're on Cocoa Beach.
Christmas Eve, another big travel day during what's expected to be a record-breaking travel season. People are coming and going at New York's Penn Station, taking the train.
It's really busy. Our thing got delayed, so we're just waiting it out. Phone's dead, but pushing through, you know, holidays.
There are a handful of flights canceled so far, a couple hundred delays. There could be some icy roads in parts of the Mid-Atlantic, but no major storms. Former Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz says in a court filing he's suffered irreversible and irreparable harm from the release of a House Ethics Committee report.
The bipartisan committee found, quote, substantial evidence that Gaetz paid for sex and drugs on more than 20 occasions and paid for sex with a 17-year-old girl twice. Gaetz denies it. Writing on X, Gaetz says the report left things out.
Fox's Chad Pergram. America's listening to Fox News.
Morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 42 degrees. It is partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Veterans that get their medical care at the VA but haven't been eligible for dental care will have a new option to get some care soon. The Florida Veterans Dental Care Program has now been approved and funded by the state.
I just went inside, made an appointment for dental. Booked 5 months out, so they're sending me community care somewhere.
That is veteran John Hills. Now, he is one of only 15% of veterans that actually qualify to get dental care through the VA. And for those 15%, there's only one dentist available in the Pensacola area. That program will allocate $1 million for dental care for veterans, and all veterans in the state that have an honorable discharge will be eligible for that. One person is dead, another hurt after a shooting last night. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says gunshots were reported just before 6:30 yesterday on the 7900 block of Rouse Drive. One person had been shot in the head. The other victim had a non-life-threatening injury to the leg. Right now, there's no word on suspects or a motive, but we will let you know when we learn more about that. Well, Matt Gaetz firing back after a report yesterday accusing him of paying for sex and having sex with a minor. Those allegations coming out in the House Ethics Report. Former Congressman Gaetz posted on X defending himself yesterday. He shared a screenshot of one woman's testimony that she never charged Gaetz for sex. He said it was his choice to give her money. He also retweeted comments from others saying that the Justice Department had talked to some of the same witnesses and did not find them to be credible. The 14-year-old girl that Santa Rosa County deputies were looking for in the Pace area was found safely yesterday. The sheriff's office posted on social media that Aubrey Weaver was found yesterday afternoon. She'd been missing since December 14th. Well, one man dead after a boat explosion in Broward County. That happened in Fort Lauderdale yesterday. Fort Lauderdale Fire Rescue says five people were taken to the hospital, three of them with injuries described as traumatic. A sixth person was found dead in the water. Right now, there's no word on a cause, but officials there say the investigation is still determining whether the boat was actively fueling at the time. An update on the boy injured at the drone show in Orlando. Adriana Edgerton says her 7-year-old son, Alexander, who was hurt when a drone at Lake Eola fell from the sky during a show, is now recovering from surgery. Edgerton says the boy underwent open heart surgery, but is now in stable condition. She also tells the local news there, Channel 9, that the impact of the drone was almost like a bomb going off. She said it electrocuted his heart. The state dealing with a legal setback over manatee deaths. A federal judge ruling last week that a lawsuit over manatee deaths in the Indian River Lagoon can continue. The state wanted the judge to issue a summary judgment and end the lawsuit, which was filed 2 years ago by Bear Warriors United. The BWU says the Florida Department of Environmental Protection has allowed wastewater into that lagoon and starved the manatees by killing the seagrass that they rely on for food. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at some beautiful weather for this Christmas Eve. Plenty of sunshine, high near 65 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 53 with conditions looking nice and calm for Santa. As we go into Wednesday, your Christmas day, we'll deal with about a 40% chance of rain. It looks like the rain will be moving in later in on the day after about 7 p.m. Most of the day just going to be looking cloudy, high near 68 on that Christmas day. As we go into Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 59. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 39 degrees in Pensacola, 41 in Gulf Breeze, and 36 in Milton. I almost skipped over my good friend Pickens here because I was so distracted looking at my NORAD Santa tracker. Right now, apparently, he's headed for the Kurile Islands, and he should be there in about 10 minutes. Wow. He's already delivered, and, you know, this is, what are we at? 6:36 in the morning. He's already delivered over 500,000 gifts.
Do what?
500,000. He's an early riser and a go-getter. But, John, what do you see on our roads right now?
Go-getter. I love it. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Just got one accident to let you know about. It's Softly Field Road and Hobson Lane. So that's a Grinch in their Christmas. The road is blocked. Starting to see some delays on Softly Field Road, both directions. So use caution in that area. First responders are just now arriving on the scene. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And it is 6:36. Your next news at 7, a breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
So a couple of years ago, my wife and I were thinking about buying a Honda Odyssey, and we had about 6 months we figured left on the main gasket, head gasket for our Grand Caravan, and we just wanted to test drive an Odyssey to make sure it's what we wanted. Nobody had one. It just was the wrong age for the pre-owned certifieds, and it was a whole mess. We couldn't find one to test drive, but we knew we wanted to make sure what we were going to buy eventually. Well, Frontier had one, and we test drove it, and we loved it. And they said, do you want to look at a price? And we didn't want to be rude and say no. So we looked at the price. And we're like, oh, that's a pretty good price. Can you come down a little bit? And they said, yes. We said, well, can you give us a day? And they said, yes. We said, can you come down a little bit more? And they said, yes. And we said, well, can we buy it? And they said, yes. I mean, it was that easy. And we wound up buying a one-year-old car with about 12,000 miles on it that had come back from an auction in Orlando because the dealership there couldn't sell it for whatever reason. And we got a great deal on an outstanding car that we have loved ever since. And we didn't go to buy a car. We just went to look at it, and we couldn't say no once we saw what they had. That's how easy it is to find good quality cars at Frontier Motors. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Hey folks, this is Jimmy Patronis, Florida's Chief Financial Officer, wishing each of you a Merry Christmas. Now, I just received an amazing phone call a few weeks ago that I want to tell you about. President Trump called me and said, "Jimmy, I want you to run for Congress." Wow. Yes, the guy who just won a landslide victory defeating the crazy Democrats in Washington, the guy who just got shot, stood back up and said, "Fight, fight, fight." That guy. President Donald J. Trump told me to run for Congress. Well, my mama didn't raise a dummy, so my response to the president was a very simple, "Yes, sir." I will run, and we will enact President Trump's agenda. We will secure the border. We will get rid of the woke foolishness in Washington. It's an honor of a lifetime to have President Trump's endorsement. The president can count on me, and so can you. I'm Jimmy Patronis, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message. I'd be honored to have your support. Paid for by Friends of Jimmy Patronis, Inc.
What does Christmas mean to you?
Hey, Andrew McKay here, and at Christmas, what I think of is the original greatest miracle of God becoming flesh and living among us. A gift of incomparable size that we were given, and out of appreciation for which we give gifts to each other. Merry Christmas from all of us here at News Radio 92.3.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And good morning, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We're playing the best of Andrew McKay this morning. And we're going to go to our final segment of the USS McCool as Andrew was on the bridge. So it's a pretty cool episode. And don't worry, I'm going to pause it, get your traffic at 6:45, so we'll be on time. Here's Andrew aboard the USS McCool bridge.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes,
good morning, 6:38 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Good to have you with us. Thank you for choosing us. I know you have all kinds of choices in radio, and I'm glad that you choose to listen to us talk to you in the morning. So I appreciate that. Last week, I had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go get a tour, behind-the-scenes look at the USS McCool, this amphibious landing dock that is going to commission here in Pensacola on September the 7th. I almost said 9th. Anyway, it's going to commission here in Pensacola, and I'm actually, fingers crossed, I might have a chance to ride it in its trip over from Panama City. So, you know, we'll see. It looks like it might happen. We've got some logistics things we're working out. But anyway, we've been talking about the various aspects of the ship, and this is my first time on board a warship. Not true. I did go on the Clusahatchee, which my uncle was on back in the day. I mean, like 40 years ago or something like that. And I've been on other ships, decommissioned ships. But, you know, to be on a brand new, to be the first people to tour the amphibious landing dock, a pretty sweet opportunity to go behind the scenes. So today's tour takes us to the bridge, right, where they navigate and steer the boat and drive it, if you prefer. And the first thing you notice when you walk into the bridge, at least when we did, the odor.
That's a new car smell.
If I bought a car that smelled like this, I would return it.
Very, very pungent paint smell because a lot of paint. Brand new ship, right? Brand new. Actually, there's a reason why it smelled, I think, so strongly. We'll get to that in just a minute. But Commander Mark Banky, who is the chief officer of the boat, he explained how they staff on the bridge.
Right. We talked about CON and OD and things like that. So underway, you'll have an officer of the deck. That's normally a senior first or second tour division officer.
OOD.
Someone with around 2 to 4 years in the Navy, normally a lieutenant, junior grade, or lieutenant that'll be up here. They'll be running where we're navigating. They'll be running the day-to-day schedule from up here. and kind of controlling the ship. They'll have two people assisting them. They'll have a junior officer to deck that is similar in experience, and then they'll have a Connie officer, who's normally a first or second tour division officer as well. Connie officer is the one that's actually issuing commands for where we're going to steer and where we're going.
So OOD and conning officer, and I'm just fascinated to think about, you know, like lieutenant or lieutenant junior grade being the people to basically be driving the boat. I mean, you know, it's, I don't know. I mean, that's pretty amazing. People that have been in the Navy for a couple of years, and there they are.
Well, I'm going to pause Andrew McCabe. I get to pause him. It's 6:45. Let's get a look at your traffic on the fives. Still dealing with that accident, the Softley Field Road and Hobson Lane. The road is blocked, and it's causing some delays in that area. But just be aware that the road is blocked on Softley Field Road, both directions. So when I get more information on that, first responders are on the scene, so they're taking care of things. Other than that, traffic is looking good. Let's get back to Andrew McKay and the USS McCool.
Basically be driving the boat. I mean, you know, it's, I don't know. I mean, that's pretty amazing. People that have been in the Navy for a couple of years, and there they are. Right? Okay. So it's just fascinating. He goes on to talk about enlisted staffing also on the bridge.
Great question, sir. So for enlisted members, you're going to look at a quartermaster of the watch that's going to ensure that we're navigating in the right area. You'll have a helmsman who will be controlling our steering and our thrust on a normal underway watch. You'll have a bosun mate of the watch who's controlling the 1MC, any announcements we need to make. You also have a couple of lookouts with us. So we'll have one out on the port bridge wing, the starboard bridge wing, and we'll have a lookout that'll be stationed back out, either on the flight deck or in the aft mooring station in the event of inclement weather.
And then on the bridge, what you've got is a chair to the left and a chair to the right, like kind of, and it's a flat glass out the front, like you've seen probably in movies. It's giant. The room is not that big, but it's all black. We'll get to that in a second. And then behind the front windows, you've got all these, you know, tables and stations where they can see things like the radar, or they can also see the other ships that are in the area, and just, you know, all of the information systems, a lot of which was stuff that we were not supposed to take pictures or video of, you know, for sort of obvious technological reasons. I mean, we weren't even really, there was nothing for us to see, but they were particularly cautious about those aspects of what was going on in the bridge.
Yeah, so chairs on either side, you know, that's traditionally right, the captain's chair on the starboard side there, next to the chair. We actually, believe it or not, they had them so high when they put them in, we had them take 8 inches up lower. You know, I was sitting so high, I couldn't actually see out the window. And this one's better. Now it's at the right height. I put my feet up on that table and take it out.
There you go.
But yeah, so we're, yeah, well, you know, especially early on, right, any CO, spend a lot of time up here.
And see, I had all just kind of in my head, you know, a lot of times you have these in the head pictures of things. And in my head, the captain's always up on the bridge. Rationally, I know that can't be true. And in fact, he's got to do all kinds of things all over the ship all the time. And so, but I was curious, like kind of in the beginning, how much of his day does he spend actually on the bridge?
How much of your day do you spend up here normally?
When we first get underway, probably most of it.
Okay. So you do, I mean, wake up there and asleep.
Well, I got to know, you know, you got to learn your bridge teams, right? And I got a lot of experience, but we still haven't ever been to sea together. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, that's just, I just need to be up there to see everything for a while. And that'll over time, you know, be less. But generally speaking, myself or XO or somebody like ops, you know, I have someone up here that's got a lot of time and experience just to make sure we're doing, staying straight.
Right? Yeah. Until you get comfortable to make sure, because ultimately responsibility is his, that, you know, the people who are operating the ship are doing what they're supposed to be doing and doing it in a safe and, you know, accurate manner, right? Commander Mark Behnke, who is, again, the chief's officer on the boat, talking about the process of it getting from where it is now to ultimately being able to be deployed.
So the way they contract and build ships, right? So this ship was contracted to be built 9 to 10 years ago. Right, and it was planned, built, people in program offices, way smarter than me on architecture, right? They put this thing together. But as you know, technology rapidly changes. So following this and a few operations we have, we'll go into what's called a follow-on availability for about 7.5 months back in Norfolk. We'll get things that are already on board upgraded that need to be upgraded to be current. We'll get some things that cannot be installed here in Mississippi that have to be done up in Norfolk. We'll get those installed. And then we'll go through some of our basic certifications, and we'll get ready for deployment.
It's not like just delivering an end state result. You build the ship according to a contract that was settled on 8 or 9 years ago. They're building the ship. That ship's going to have systems on it that are already obsolete by the time it gets made. So it goes to Panama City. It gets some of its final things put in there. It comes back here to Pensacola to commission. Then it goes up to Norfolk to basically be retrofitted, upgraded, and made modern, the things that are already behind the technology because they were designed and implemented over the last decade. You know, like, it's just an interesting process because of how long it takes, what you have to do to get the thing finally ready to fully deploy, even though, as the captain was repeatedly telling us, you know, if mission calls, they go now, right? You know, you better to take what you've got in its current state than the ideal that you would have if you waited till later, because later may not even happen, right? Back to the USS McCool. And again, you know, part of the reason that I'm spending so much time on this is because I think it's fascinating. Part of it is because it's a behind-the-scenes look at naval operations, or at least the, you know, the machinery and the people that you might not normally get. Also, of course, it's commissioning here. But think broader than that. What am I in? I'm in this, you know, Meet Your Tenant Commands series where we're talking about what happens at the military bases here in Northwest Florida, which most people do not know, and that's why we're doing the series. Okay, but all of the aviation stuff, like this boat has got, you know, several helicopter pilots and then all the support staff that go with them and can work on their 60s or, you know, the Ospreys or whatever they happen to have. Okay, those folks all got all of their training here. All of it. They learned how to fly at Whiting. They learned how to, you know, turn a wrench at the MATSIG 23 on board NAS Pensacola. They, you know, like at NATSE. But also, NETSI, which is the overarching training command, the two-star admiral here, Cherico, all of the training that goes on all over the United States and even the
world. We're going to interrupt Andrew for just a second. We've got some breaking news.
Breaking news on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Well, thank you very much, John. We are seeing some reports right now that a ground stop has been issued for all American Airlines flights. This is a nationwide ground stop for all American Airlines flights. Of course, this coming as the holiday travel season, very busy right now. Taking a look at the departures list here at the Pensacola Airport, we are seeing there are three flights that were scheduled that are currently on hold. A flight to Miami, a flight to Washington, a flight to Dallas. Those are all American Airlines flights in Pensacola currently on hold and delayed. Also, a few flights here later in the day. So we will let you know when we learn more about this. This is just coming out. We are seeing reports of this as of right now. So we'll let you know as soon as we learn more, but let's get back to our regular programming.
That's right, and I'm just reading technical difficulties is what they are saying right now for the ground stop. Technical difficulties.
Right, technical difficulties. So not a whole lot of information as to exactly what it is, but... we'll let you know as soon as we find out more, and we'll reach out to the airport and see what we can find out.
That's right. Let's get back to Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News.
Basically be driving the boat. I mean, you know, it's, I don't know. I mean, that's pretty amazing. People that have been in the Navy for a couple of years, and there they are. Right? Okay. So it's just fascinating. He goes on to talk about enlisted staffing.
Good morning.
Also
I'm David Wayne.
Great question, sir. So for enlisted members, you're going to look at a quartermaster of the watch that's going to ensure that we're navigating in the right area. You'll have a helmsman who will be controlling our steering and our thrust on a normal underway watch. You'll have a bosun mate of the watch who's controlling the 1MC, any announcements we need to make. You also have a couple of lookouts with us. So we'll have one out on the port bridge wing, the starboard bridge wing, and we'll have a lookout that'll be stationed back aft, either on the flight deck or in the aft mooring station in the event of inclement weather.
And then on the bridge, what you've got is a chair to the left and a chair to the right, like kind of, and it's a flat glass out the front, like you've seen probably in movies. It's giant. The room is not that big, but it's all black. We'll get to that in a second. And then behind the front windows, you've got all these, you know, tables and stations where they can see things like the radar, or they can also see the other ships that are in the area, and just, you know, all of the information systems, a lot of which was stuff that we were not supposed to take pictures or video of, you know, for sort of obvious technological reasons. I mean, we weren't even really, there was nothing for us to see, but they were particularly cautious about those aspects of what was going on in the bridge.
Yeah, so the chairs on either side, you know, that's traditionally right, the captain's chair on the starboard side there, next to the chair. We actually, believe it or not, they had them so high when they put them in, we had them take 8 inches of the lower. You know, I was sitting so high, I couldn't actually see out the window. And this one's better. Now it's at the right height. I can put my feet up on that table and take it out.
There you go.
But yeah, all right, so we're going to pause Andrew McKay right there. This is he's talking about the USS McCool and the bridge. We've got to take a quick traffic break. That accident that happened on Softly Field Road in Hobson Lane is now clear. FHP is on the scene, and they're saying the road is back open. It's off to the side of the road. We'll be back right here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola this Friday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss this Friday at 9 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it! Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Don't you know that it's Christmas time again? I'm happy for you. You know it comes and goes, so let's pretend that it'll last for me.
It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Merry Christmas to you and your family and everyone that needs to be blessed this Christmas season. We've got headline news. Let's check in with David and see what's going on. What's up?
Well, thank you very much, John. Of course, our big story this morning just breaking here. American Airlines grounding all flights across the country this morning all American Airlines flights across the country this morning is Christmas Eve travelers trying to get to their destinations for the holidays. Right now, an unspecified technical issue is what they're blaming this on. No other details have been provided. The airline did say on X that there is currently no estimated time frame for restoration of service for those flights. So we'll let you know as soon as we learn any more about that.
That's right. Thank you, David. We'll be back after this news break. On News Radio 92.3, it's Pensacola Morning News. I'm John Pickens.